On today's show, we'll talk about the new commandment and we'll look at the mass readings for the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Stay right where you are. It starts now. Hey there, it's Friday. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Simak. I'd love for you to come in and sit down and stay with me for another 30 minutes as we talk about the new commandment. The new commandment given to us by Jesus. Today is Friday, so every Friday we look at the hidden power of kindness. Today we'll focus on this new commandment of Jesus. That'll be coming up later in the program. Before that, we will look, as we do each Friday, at the Sunday Mass readings. This Sunday is the 32nd week in Ordinary Time. And, boy, you know, now that I think about this, we are only 2 weeks away after this Sunday from the beginning of the Advent season. Isn't that incredible? So, without further ado, I told you I would do this, and I'm going to do it. We do an Advent retreat every Lent. We do an Advent retreat every Lent, yeah. We do an Advent retreat every Advent. How appropriate is that on the Gary Zimek Show? This year. Can we start over? It's going to be one of those nights. This year, I am once again going to dip into a really nifty book that I have. It is called Meditations from Advent to Lent. This is funny. This is one of those old books that I picked up used several years ago. It was written in 1966 by Father Lowry Daly and Sister Mary Daly. I assume they're brother and sister, but I don't know anything that proves or disproves that fact. But they only wrote this book, and I think they wrote another book. But what these are simple, very nice, very brief meditations. I've used this on the air before for Advent, one day at a time. We'll look at day by day ways to grow closer to Christ, which is really the purpose of Advent. That's one of the books that I'll be using. So I know I said I would tell you what we're doing. This is one of the things we'll be doing. I have some other little readings I may use to supplement from time to time. We'll also do the St. Andrew Novena, which I mentioned last night on the program. That begins on November the 30th. And I'll put the text of that up on my website. It's very simple. It's a little repetitive, but it doesn't take that long, and we'll try to work it into the show. And honestly, I'm still up in the air about that. I think I'll include the St. Andrew Novena, but yeah, I think we will. I think we will. I just don't want to take up too much time with it, but I think it's a great thing for us to do on the program. It doesn't take too much. I like how I work these things out in advance. Well, you know, sometimes I just let the Holy Spirit lead me, but I think we'll do the St. Andrew Novena. Either that or I'll just tell you to do it on your own and I'll give you the text for it. But we'll do some of that. We will do the daily mass readings as well. So you will get a nice 30-minute package every day, Monday through Friday, during the Advent season to help you to better prepare for the coming of the Lord. That all begins on November the 30th, which I believe is a Monday night. I'll be out of town. I'm doing two back-to-back parish missions in November and December, but I will pre-tape the shows, so they'll be recorded, they'll be uploaded as podcasts, and you will have the program, so don't worry about that. Also, I want to let you know that on Sunday, this Sunday, 2 days from now, I will be heading down to EWTN to tape a series with Johnette Bankovic, a series on my latest book, Faith, Hope, and Clarity, How to Know God's Will. I will record the program for Monday before I leave, and also I'm speaking in the Philadelphia area on Tuesday evening, so I will also make sure that I have a recorded program available for then as well. If you happen to be in the Philadelphia area, I put the information on my Facebook page, but I'm speaking at Our Lady of Port Richmond in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. That'll be Tuesday, November the 10th at 6:30 p.m., Admission is free, so if you're interested in coming, I'd love to see you there. I'll have my books for sale. And I've been told that we will even have coffee and donuts after the talk. Isn't that great? So even if you don't want to come see me, come and have some coffee and donuts at Our Lady of Port Richmond, November the 10th at 6:30 p.m. And I've got other upcoming talks as well that I'll be letting you know about, but they are all on my website, followingthetruth.com. So if you check that out, you'll be able to find out where I'll be in the next few months. But for right now, we've got a show to do, so let's get right to it. In case you're interested in my beverage du jour today, I have a cup of Donut Shop Nutty Caramel Coffee. I'm going to take a sip of that now. Yes, Nutty Caramel. It's a really interesting taste. I don't know if I would pick up the nuts or the caramel in it, but it's a very good taste. Mystic Monk Coffee is on the way, so as soon as I get that on the air, I will try it. As soon as I get that in-house, I should say, I will try it on the air. Let's pray before I get any goofier, which I honestly don't think is possible, but let's pray anyway. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us another day to know you, to love you, to serve you. Father, we're very grateful for all the many blessings that you've given to us in our life, in our lives. Please help us to walk with you so that one day we may be able to live in heaven with you. Please help those who are sick. Please help those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who are dealing with addiction, those who are dealing with any kind of a financial crisis, those who may be experiencing religious persecution, as well as those who are struggling with any kind of weather-related issues. Father, we ask you to help us with our own personal intentions. We ask you to help us to feel your peace even in the midst of whatever suffering we may be going through. I give this show to you, Father, and I ask you to take it over. I ask you to speak through me, and please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to whatever message you have for us today. Let me ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Mother Mary, we turn to you now. We ask for your prayers as together we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, I really want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. My name is Gary Zimek. We do this every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio. And you know I'm not kidding when I say it's a great pleasure to be here with you. What an honor it is to be able to talk about our Lord Jesus Christ every day on this program for the past 5 years. I mean, it's just an incredible blessing that you're here with me, and I thank you for all that you do to make this show possible. Your financial donations, your constant prayers, your support, your letting your friends know about this show, all the many things that you do to help me out to be able to continue to do this show on Blog Talk Radio. This is an absolute labor of love for me, and I hope to continue to do this show for many years to come, God willing. That's what I intend to do. We'll leave that up to the Lord, and I thank you just in advance for all of your many prayers and donations that you will give to me in the future so we'll be able to sustain this program. I have to be honest with it, because really the only reason that I do this show, that I'm able to do this show, is because of your help. If it wasn't for your help, I would not be able to continue here. So I thank you for that. I don't like to talk about it too much, but I have to bring it up because that's the way that we keep this program on the air. All right, let's take a look at the Mass readings from Sunday of the 32nd week in Ordinary Time. And as we're getting close to the end of the church year, the liturgical year as it's called, we've got this Sunday, 32nd week. The following Sunday is the 33rd week in Ordinary Time. And after that, we have what is known as the Solemnity of Christ the King, which is the 34th week in Ordinary Time. So that's how we close out the church year. And then after that, we go into the Advent season. And I'm just looking at my calendar here, and that's just amazing, isn't it? Yeah, 32nd week is November the 8th, November the 15th, the 33rd Sunday. November 22nd is our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, sometimes referred to as Christ the King. And then November the 29th is the first Sunday of Advent. So get ready. It's happening. We're going to get ready to start welcoming the Lord. We're going to prepare to welcome the Lord. That's what Advent is all about. But let's look at these Mass readings. The first reading is from the first book of Kings, chapter 17, verses 10 through 16. You know, I have to say, this is one of my favorite readings from the Old Testament. I use this a lot when I speak. In those days, Elijah the prophet went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the entrance of the city, a widow was gathering sticks there. He called out to her, "Please bring me a small cupful of water to drink." She left to get it, and he called out after her, "Please bring along a bit of bread." She answered, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. There is only a handful of flour in my jar and a little oil in my jug. Just now I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and prepare something for myself and my son. When we have eaten it, we shall die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you propose, but first make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can prepare something for yourself and your son. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says the jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth." She left and did as Elijah had said. She was able to eat for a year, and he and her son as well. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, as the Lord had foretold through Elijah. Now, the reason I use this, one of the reasons I use this story in my talks, especially when I'm talking about discerning God's will, is the fact that Elijah ended up in Zarephath because the brook that he was obtaining his drinking water from dried up. And the Lord told him, it's a really great story, the Lord told him to go to Zarephath and a widow would feed him there. And Elijah did as the Lord told him. He heard the Lord telling him to do something, and he believed that the widow would indeed feed him. Now, the beautiful thing about this is the widow was very poor, and she and her son were struggling to get by. But she also listened to what the prophet told her because she believed that the prophet was speaking on behalf of the Lord. And what happened was, because the widow obeyed the Lord and fed Elijah the prophet, the jar of flour did not go empty, nor did the jug of oil run dry, until the day when the Lord sent rain upon the earth. And that's exactly what happened. So she had to trust in the Lord's providence, and he came through for her. Now, when we get to the gospel, I'll tie this together because the first reading, the psalm, and the gospel all go hand in hand. That's why they're chosen. There is a theme that runs through this, but so many times in life, the Lord asks us to do something, and it requires trust on our part. Whenever the Lord asks us to do anything, there is some element of trust involved. And there's always a certain amount of risk involved as well. Do we trust the Lord in our lives? A lot of times we don't. We'll talk. I want to talk more about this when I go through all the readings. But right now, let's look at this psalm, which is Psalm 146. The Lord keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects strangers. The fatherless and the widow he sustains, but the way of the wicked he thwarts. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, through all generations. Alleluia. Praise the Lord, my soul. The Lord protects strangers. The Lord raises up those who were bowed down. In other words, the Lord protects us. Now, this theme continues. We saw this theme in the first reading, the Lord's providence. He gives us what we need. Not necessarily what we want, but he gives us what we need. Do you believe that? We all probably believe that until we're really tested. When we're tested, and it becomes a challenge, then it's another story sometimes. It's easy to believe the Lord if there isn't too much at stake. But when he pushes us a little bit, and it really requires us to trust him, that gets tough. But if we really believe in him, if we really believe that he's good for his word, then we're willing to take that risk, right? Let's look at the second reading. Second reading is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one, but heaven itself, that he might now appear before God on our behalf. Not that he might offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters each year into the sanctuary with blood that is not his own. If that were so, he would have to suffer repeatedly from the foundation of the world. But now, once and for all, he has appeared at the end of the ages to take away sin by his sacrifice. Just as it is appointed that human beings die once, and after this, the judgment, so also Christ, offered once to take away the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. In Genesis 3:15, the Lord promised that there would be a Savior sent. I mean, this is right after the fall. Adam and Eve committed their sin. And the Lord said, he promised, that there would eventually be a Savior to correct the damage that they caused and to make it possible for you and I to live in heaven. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, that is possible. So just as in the first reading, the widow and her son and the prophet were all provided for by God, through the generosity of God, the willingness of his son to suffer for us, we are able to live in heaven. Once again, the Lord makes good on his promises. Let's look at the gospel now, then we'll tie these all together. Mark 12, verses 38 through 44. In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows and, as a pretext, recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." Now, let me talk about this for a minute, because this is something I really want to make this point, because I don't want to lead anybody astray. This is where we can sometimes do the wrong thing, even though we're trying to be good. The Lord doesn't want us to give up the money that we need to pay our bills, to pay our mortgage, to pay our rent, to pay our health insurance, to take care of our children's school, whatever it may be. But the Lord does want us to give up some of the money that we might use for the non-essential things of life. Maybe that extra cup of coffee. Maybe at some point even that vacation. Maybe the big screen TV. I mean, you know, it really depends. This is something that you will have to decide on your own what exactly he's calling you to do. But the Lord does expect us to be generous. and to share what we have with those in need. And you know what? That is not an easy thing to do sometimes. That can be very challenging because we like to be comfortable. But we see the great blessings that occur when we trust the Lord and we trust in His providence. The widow in the gospel absolutely trusted. The widow in the first reading, she trusted. Are you willing to trust? Now, one of the things that sometimes happens is that we worry about what might happen in the future. And we stockpile our money just in case we ever may need it. You know what I'm saying? It's good. It's not. There's nothing wrong with saving money, with being responsible. But it can be a problem if we are just hoarding so much money that we're not sharing it with people who might be in need. People or charities, whoever. Family members. But the Lord wants us to share what we have with others. And that's the message. It's going to be different for each one of us. I know that in my life, I struggled with this, especially when I first started in full-time ministry. I'm getting better at it now because I realize that I've got to trust Him. I have to contribute a certain percentage of everything that I make to Him because it all comes from Him. But it took me a long time to get to that point. And sometimes still it's not easy. But I've seen the blessings from doing it. So I would like you to just to ask yourself today, just ask ask the Lord to speak through His Holy Spirit and let you know if you need to trust Him a little bit more, maybe by being a little more generous. But again, don't put yourself in any jeopardy. The Lord doesn't want you to risk the money that you need to pay your bills. He wants you to pay your bills. That's His gift to you, to pay your bills. But maybe you can do a few things to cut down on your extra expenses, okay? And, you know, if you have questions, please let me know. Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Let's talk briefly about this new commandment from the book Kindness by Father Lawrence Lovasik. The standard for the love, and I've been using this book for a long time on the program, so I'm not going to tell you too much about it because I talk about this every week. We're a little short on time tonight. I just want to really set the stage. We'll continue this next week. The new commandment. The standard for the love of God is giving all. It reaches into the very depths of the powers of your soul. Luke 10:27 states, love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, and with your whole strength, and with your whole mind. The standard for the love of neighbor is love of self. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, honestly, how many of us really do that? How many of us really love our neighbor as ourself? That's an amazingly challenging task, to love our neighbor as ourself. You may have problems with the two short words as yourself, words too often overlooked. You should love in the same measure as you love yourself, as if your neighbor were your very self. Such love is naturally kind. That which is natural toward yourself can likewise become more consciously willed toward your neighbor. Now Christ commands that love for your neighbor, which is far nobler than love of self, should not be less sincere and genuine. Because self-love is genuine, it can never remain idle. It is attentive to every great and small desire of the human heart and seeks to gratify it as soon as possible. In the same way, let your love for your fellow man realize the desires of his heart. Prevent that which fills him with fear. Consider his aversions. Take into account his wants. Spare his feelings. Drive away cares. Procure joy. If your love for others were to equal your love of self, it would become a tremendous force for good. Now, you know, I know this is a challenging statement, and this one really gets me a little nervous because I know that I'm weak in this area. Do we really love our neighbor as ourselves? I think a lot of times we We say it, but we don't really live it out. And, you know, don't panic if you feel a little uncomfortable. Just take it as a challenge. If you need some work in this area, thank God you're still alive. You can work on this. And this is a good thing to do during the Advent season. The law of charity does not exact that the interests of strangers should take precedence over your own. It would be heroic to love another more than yourself. On the other hand, you have not fully complied with the command of Christ if at all times and in all circumstances you fail to put yourself and your neighbor on the same plane, so that you may gradually come to take as much account of another's wishes as of your own. St. Francis de Sales writes, "He who has commanded us to love our neighbor has also told us the manner in which we should love him. We must love him as ourselves. This is the rule. We cannot transgress it without being guilty. It is so essential to love our neighbor in this manner that in loving him in any other way different from this, we do not love him sufficiently." So we're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus expressed the commandment of love as his last will at the Last Supper. Our Lord began by saying that we must have love for one another. This constitutes a new commandment. The commandment is new because Jesus Christ adds to the old and important feature, loving one another as he loved us. His love reached out to us. When we were not even thinking of him, he came to us first. He is not discouraged by our unfaithfulness and ingratitude. He loves us in order to make us holy and to make us happy. He loves us in a disinterested way, for he has no need of us, nor of our service. Our Lord emphasized the degree to which our love must be ready to reach when he added, "No one can give a greater proof of his love than by laying down his life for his friends." Thus, St. John says in 1 John 3:16, "We know what love is from the fact that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We too ought to lay down our lives for our brothers." St. Basil writes, "We must be free from all enmity toward all men and love our enemies, and when necessity requires, lay down our love for our friends with a love like that which God and his Christ had for us." The precept of the love of God, which contains implicitly the love of our neighbor, was given explicitly in the Pentateuch in the Old Testament. Some of the great saints of the Old Testament had understood by the light of grace that the duty of brotherly love extended to all the human race, but nowhere under the old law do we find an explicit command to love all men. This commandment is new also because Christ demands that we show a special love for our enemies by praying for them and doing good to them on all occasions. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to love your enemies and pray for your persecutors. Thus, the explicit command to love all men, enemies included, had not been affirmed and promulgated before the time of Christ. That's why he called this a new commandment and his commandment. So this is a new instruction from the Lord to us to love our enemies. You know, and again, I'm giving you a lot, I'm laying on a lot on you tonight, but really as we enter into this Advent season, maybe this is something to work on that we can consider to work on, because we might have a shortcoming in this area. And this could be something. If you really want to welcome Christ into your heart during the Advent season, then you certainly have got to make sure that you're loving not only your neighbor, but your enemies as well. So why don't you give that some thought over the weekend? We are just about out of time. And again, I will record a show for Monday, even though I'll be out of town. If you need anything at all, please let me know. I will be reading my emails when I'm at EWTN. If you wouldn't mind shooting up a prayer for me, I would really appreciate it. And also keep in mind the fact that I could use additional donations, either monthly donors, I need some new monthly donors, or a one-time donation. However you want to do it, it would really help me to be able to continue with this program. I thank you in advance for your generosity. Please also keep me in your prayers, and you can be assured that I will be praying for you too. Let me know if you need anything. My email address is gary@followingthetruth.com. Have a wonderful weekend, and remember, ask the Holy Spirit to bring out any faults that you have inside of you, things that you can work on during the Advent season as we're getting close. God bless.